Our Lord Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So there's an obligation or a commandment, a delivery from above. It says, be thankful. Be thankful. We see it by example. Jesus, Matthew 11, verse 25. That time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because, and then he continues his prayer. In Matthew 26, verse 26, when Jesus is observing the Passover meal in the upper room and institutes his own supper, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. In verse 27, it says, he took the cup and gave thanks. Gave thanks. Knowing he's the sacrifice. Thank you, God, that my life is going to be taken. There's something in that to be thankful for. What Jesus perhaps is giving thanks for was that he was providing for you and me and every generation something that we could not provide for ourselves. Perhaps he's saying, thank you, God, that I am able to deliver salvation to a world of people who can't provide it for themselves. Take the cup. He references to his blood. He says, thank you. In David, in Psalm 100, verse 4, David says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. His windows were open in his chamber. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. A man that was habitual in prayer, and the content of his prayer was thank you. Thank you. The Apostle Paul, Acts 27, verse 35, that when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Thank you. Philippians 1, verse 3, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Talking about the brethren that were in Philippi because they assisted Paul in supporting his ministry. So he writes back and says, thank you. Thank you. So just in the introduction here, we establish there is an element of a command and an example in the Bible to be thankful. Be thankful. So that's what we want to teach as parents to our children. Perhaps as leaders in a congregation to the congregation, or just one another, how do we develop an attitude of gratitude? Number one, remember to never forget. Remember to not forget. In Psalm 100, verse 3, Psalm 103, verse 2, forget not all his benefits. Forget not. I put in your notes just the story of Joseph and the baker, or the butler, when they were both in prison there in Egypt. And Joseph said in Genesis 40, verse 14, he said, think on me when it shall be well with you. So Joseph is still rubbing elbows with his prison partner. If you get out of here, think of me, I'm still here. When things get well with you, think of me, says I pray thee. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. But in verse 23, the butler was released from prison. But then it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Ah. Remember the 10 lepers that were cleansed. One comes back. So Jesus even asked the question, where are the nine? Weren't there 10 cleansed? Teaching an illustration, shouldn't all 10 say thank you? great to say thank you. I always try to remind the boys when my boys were younger to grow in growing up. And even now, never too late. Because sometimes when we receive something, and with the passage of time, we think, oh, it's too late to say thank you. You know how long ago that was that they gave this to me? And I remember they did it. I don't think I said thank you or wrote a note to them or called them. I was probably too late. Never too late to say thank you. Don't you know that it would warm the person's heart that gave you something, even if it's been months or years later, to receive a thank you note, knowing that you still remembered and maybe that you have that particular token and you wrote back and said thank you. So say thank you. Plus, they probably remember that you didn't say that. So remember not to forget. Number two, don't major on your troubles. Don't major on your troubles. Everybody has them. We all do. That's kind of, we've got your blessings, not your blights. Don't major on your bruises. You're going to have them. You ever notice how often we date things from a tragedy? Oh, I remember when this thing happened, because that was the year I had my surgery. Or that was the year the tornado came and devoured our house. So many times we mark events by a tragedy. Let's major on our blessings. There's a, in our songbook, there's a writer that has written several of the songs. Her name is Fanny Crosby. She was blind. But one of her most popular songs is titled A Wonderful Savior. And the third stanza of the song gives the phrase, remember, she's blind, and she writes, with numberless blessings, each moment he crowns. Miss Crosby, you have troubles. There's trials, and you're blind, and you're writing numberless blessings each moment, Miss Crosby. Each moment he crowns. We need to be grateful for some troubles. Remember, one little boy was thankful for his glasses in elementary school. Said, why are you thankful they can't wear glasses? He said, well, they keep the other boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me. Matthew Henry, what I wrote in his diary, his house had been robbed. So Matthew Henry writes in his diary, let me be thankful first, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it wasn't much. And then fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed. Sometimes we can even be thankful for troubles in our life. We need to firmly believe in Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good. To those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Good can come from hardships and difficulties. Number three, some of these things that we have in this list, they're intertwined. They kind of build on each other. But count the blessings you do have. Count the blessings. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 says, having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. Be content with what we have. We've been blessed. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, be content with such things as you have. Too often we fail to remember the things which we're so remarkably blessed. Count the blessings you have. I saw an article. This is a short story. That a mother and father gave a sizable gift to the church in memory of their son who was killed in World War II. When the gift was announced, the mother whispered to her husband, the audience. She says, let's give a similar amount for our boy. The husband replied, well, our boy didn't lose his life. Whereupon the mother said, that's the point. Let's give it as an expression of gratitude for sparing his life. sing the song, count your many blessings. Count them. And then the songwriter continues, just name them one by one. And then the next phrase is, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings and name them. Number four, but consider how detestable ingratitude really is. In the Bible, when there's two times it mentions people that are unthankful, and it's listed in a category of horrible things, actions and attitudes of people. And it, right in the middle of these two lists is that word unthankful. And you look at the list in these two sections and you think, those words that surround unthankful, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I don't want to become that kind of person, but right in the middle is something. Tag phrase, unthankful. Included in the list with horrible situations. So we consider how detestable unthankfulness is. By just looking at the grouping that's placed with unthankful. Number five, practice expressing your gratitude. Say it and live it. Thank you. We're instructed to give thanks. The Bible says, doesn't say about feel thanks or think thanks or wish thanks. It's give thanks. Thanksgiving. Express it. Many times we as parents, when our children receive something, if they're not quick to say thank you, we're saying, what do you say? Sometimes the parents jump in before the child has a chance. What do you think? Don't forget, because we recognize an attitude of thanksgiving is so important in life, in attitude and action. So we're always going to remind people, what do you say? In everything, give thanks. There's a story about Mrs. Thomas Carlyle. Says that Mrs. Carlyle died of an aching heart, and having written in her diary, she says, Carlyle never praises me. If he says nothing, I have to be content that things are all right. Never said thank you. Sometimes when I read that story, I wonder how many times have I wounded the heart of God by not saying thank you for his blessing. God just content but from not hearing me and just saying, well, I bless Brian over and over again, but God made our lives to be content that he's thankful, but he doesn't say it. I want to say thank you, God. Thank you. By our life, we say thanks. David asked in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I want to say thank you and I want to show it by my life. Number six, don't take the common things or commonplace things of life for granted. Heard someone say many, many years ago that sometimes we're thankless because we're thoughtless. See, think and thanks come from the same word. And in our thinking, perhaps it's easy to overlook everyday items and be unthankful. So I want to thank God for the blessings that he's given me. The physical things in life, but also the spiritual things too. And when I think about the blessings, I want to say thanks. Again, the point is, it's not thanks-thinking. It's thanksgiving. So don't take the commonplace things of life for granted. When you think about them, thank someone for them. Number seven was avoid overemphasizing the luxuries of life. If you're constantly thinking about the things that you don't have, you're going to be discouraged. 15, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. My life is more than the materials around me. My life is more than the accumulation of possessions. A little overemphasize. Number 8 was do away with murmuring and complaining. We've read about the Old Testament story of Israelites, and that's what they did, was murmured and complained. So not only did God get them in the Old Testament story, but he reminds us of that Old Testament story in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, after giving 9 verses of Old Testament history, the message is, in verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed. Oh, teach me to be thankful and not to be a grumbler, a murmurer, or a constant complainer about what I don't have or anything else. Just, God, make me aware when you give, I want to say thanks. When I think about your blessings, I want to say thanks. In Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Then I just put number 9 in your notes. Realize that you're a recipient. Don't forget the giver. Well, that's been the theme or the thread that's been running through this lesson. Don't forget the giver, because all of us have received from God. You start naming your blessings. I'll get you started, but you can continue. I have life. I have a measure of health. Family. Talents. Opportunity. Sunshine. Rain. I have joys. I have sorrows. I have opportunity for salvation. And the list goes on. When you start to think, you can't help but thank. Think and thank in the same word. Always at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation for obedience to the gospel, the good news message of salvation. Maybe one or more here this morning that would desire to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins. You can accomplish that. All things are ready. We have a cure one. We have a change of clothing. If you've heard the good news message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around through repentance and confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you can be baptized for remission of sins. As Paul says in Romans chapter 6, rise and walk in newness of life. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The invitation is extended constantly, all of the time. But right now, while we're here, there may be one who would want to respond in a public way, in a setting like this, while we're here to rejoice with you in that decision. So we sing this song of encouragement to give you time to reflect on that decision.